from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's a long drive.
And Willie Mays gave this crowd of 52,751 an unforgettable sight. Wirtz pounds the next pitch over Willie Mays' head, but there goes Willie. And he makes a miraculous catch as he stops a step short of the wall.
Swinging at the plate, say,
hit and run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
It is great.
Why?
The ball, it's long gone, man.
Why, the listeners wonder, are you playing Vic Wirtz getting his home run robbed by Willie Mays? Why would we do that? Because that's our next guest. Is that the greatest play you ever saw on television, Pops?
Well, that's a tough one. Maybe on television, yes, I would say that catch by hit by Willie Mays that Wirtz caught is probably the best one I ever saw on television. You know, I was thinking,
yes,
since I was listening to your podcast, which I loved, about your greatest baseball thrills. You know, there was some that were amazing that Henry Aaron, an African American, being applauded so much in Atlanta,
yes,
when he hit, that must have been exciting. There are a lot of them. I was thinking of the greatest thrill that I had in baseball.
Okay, hold on. Let me set that up a little bit. This is my dad, Herb Spiegel, on the air. My dad, Herb Spiegel, is on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. And Herb is referencing the podcast, the PBP, that I've mentioned, and where my nephew and Howard Kelman were on, and they were talking. I asked them for just a great play-by-play call from the history of the game, and Howard chose that moment where Vin Scully brings historical context to Hank Aaron as a black man being applauded here in the Deep South. And it's just an incredible, incredible play-by-play moment from Vin Scully. And so, yeah, greatest thrill in baseball is perhaps the topic that was getting addressed there. So what would you, Herb Spiegel, age 91, what would you say is your greatest thrill in baseball?
What? Well, it was in 1956.
Okay.
And it was in October of 1956. And I was a Air Force navigator at the time. And I was going to miss the baseball game because I always like to listen to the World Series game.
Mm-hmm.
But the engineer got me the ball game on the airplane on the radio. And it was, can you guess? What
yes.
Was that? It was October 8th, 1956.
Yeah, of course I can guess. But but before I do, so you're on, well, it's Don Larsen's perfect game. So you're telling
exactly.
me, as a navigator in the Air Force, I never knew this. This is gold. You waited until you're on the air to share this one with me. This is amazing.
Yes.
You're listening to Don Larsen's perfect game on the radio while in an Air Force plane as the navigator?
Yes. And I had to think, after listening to your podcast or the podcast, yeah, I had to think, what was my greatest thrill in baseball? There were a number of them. You know, I did hear Ted Williams hit that home run in, I think it was the 1946 All-Star game.
Uh-huh.
And that was exciting. But I think as I look back, the fact that I was carrying weapons, I was carrying atomic bombs, and I said, can you possibly get me the as I mentioned, to the operator, I says, can you possibly get me the baseball game? And he says, yes, Lieutenant, I can. And that's when I heard and where I heard Don Larson's perfect game.
All right, hold on. That is amazing. My dad was in the Air Force, and you carried – did you carry Fat Man or Little Boy?
We just transported bombs all over the place only because – When Air Force bases went on temporary duty assignment somewhere, they wouldn't leave their bombs. So we had to pick up the bombs and take them and transport them to bases that different bases.
Wow.
And that's what it was. No, I did not. I was a little old for Little Boy.
Okay.
But, you know, I saw Little Boy, but I'm a little old.
Yeah, my dad saw the atomic bomb and transported bombs in the Air Force. And now I learned today on Father's Day that you heard Don Larson's perfect game while in the air. That is phenomenal. Oh, my God. So now there's a million different ways I could go here, obviously. I'll tell the joke. But you know, for anybody who's ever seen Oppenheimer, my dad once told a joke to the head of the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey, at a cocktail party. You told it to him in the car on the way home, right?
Right.
Okay.
I told him it was. Yeah, your mother.
Yes.
My wife was a music teacher.
All right. You know what? This is my fault. This is my fault. I'm going to cut this story off at the pass because it has nothing to do with baseball. And this is a baseball show. Your son is occasionally scatterbrained when talking to his father, who is a treasure trove of baseball information. My God.
Okay.
I'm going to cut it off and redirect myself here.
Okay. Go right ahead.
All right. Thank you very much. Did you enjoy our call screener this morning, our associate producer?
That was fantastic. What a thrill that was. I still have chills. Another generation.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So, Sean Sears, grab a mic. You, Sean, were not the call screener at this particular time. Thank you for abdicating those duties.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you, Doc.
The associate producer, would you hop on the microphone? Did you enjoy screening that guest and making sure he was ready for the show?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did.
I took a picture of the call screener.
Uh-huh.
Because ordinarily, what do you type up? Oh, ordinarily, what do you type up when you're screening the call, Ruben?
Like, what their first name is, where they're calling from, and what they want to talk about.
Right. And what did you type up for this particular guest?
Grandpa.
That's correct. So it just says grandpa right there on my call screener. Ruben, do you like pitching? Do you like throwing baseballs to me when we go to the park?
Yeah.
He's got pretty good arm there, Pops.
Yeah, that's rather a talented profession.
Yeah. Yes,
they're
it is.
Always looking for pitchers.
Yes, they are. Maybe so if we fast forward to Ruben in the World Series throwing a perfect game, that would that would mean that somebody out there would have to be flying as a navigator for the Air Force listening to that game, and then that person at the age of 91 needs to go on somebody else's radio show. It's all part of the big continuum.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, so I must admit that I had to look up the date. I knew it was, the year. I knew it was 1956.
Yeah.
But I had to look up the date, and I had to look up a little bit about Don Larson.
Hmm.
Very interesting. He had just a lackluster career, didn't he?
Yes, he did. But he had that moment. And it's interesting because that's one of the many things that I know simply as whatever grainy video I could, or the baseball books. My goodness. All the baseball books in our house, Pops, were those yours that I just took from the bookshelf? Like the Game and the Glory and the Baseball Encyclopedia, because your bookshelf.
Yeah, those were mine. Mm. And I found a bookstore in New York City, the Strand Bookstore,
sure,
which carried used books, and you got really good values. And I used to buy every baseball book practically wherever I was in Manhattan.
Well, that's how it worked for me. Was your bookshelf kind of defined my curiosity and my aesthetics early on? And I would take the books from your bookshelf and bring them into my room, you know.
Right.
How long did you have? I mean, do you remember having the baseball encyclopedia in our house?
Oh yeah. In fact, whatever there's usually on Jeopardy, there's a baseball category. Joan looks at me and says, "How do you know that?" And I said, "That's what I used to do. I disappeared and look love these little facts." And the baseball questions I can usually get on quiz shows, and then the music ones. But after that, those people are much cleverer than I am.
But the baseball encyclopedia, for anybody who's young enough to not remember, it was baseball reference in a book, and it came out what, every couple of years, but like every player in the history of the game. Do you remember who we used to look up anytime he came over the house?
Who I used to look up?
It was the friend, the Suzanne's friend, my sister's friend's dad, who played once for the Phillies. John.
Yeah, of course. He was a very, very good friend of mine. His name was John Easton.
John Easton.
And he ended up pinch hitting a couple times and being a runner. He went to Princeton.
Yes.
After a high school, and he did get drafted by the Phillies. And we used to look up John.
Yes, John would be over the house, and I'd run to the baseball encyclopedia and open it up.
That's right. There it was. There it was.
Yes. So when did you know that I was into baseball? When could you tell that your son was feverish in this way?
Well, you were very, very young. It was your brother, of course, who you've mentioned a number of times, a complete setup. He had a complete setup down in our basement where he used to sleep.
Yes.
And he had all of Fenway Park, and all the players were all lined up and glued or whatever, just stuck to the wall anyway.
Yes.
And you couldn't get good reception. And when you got in the car with your brother, you used to drive to the local bank. And their parking lot, you could get reception from the Boston station.
Yes.
And who were the announcers in Boston?
I'm Ken Coleman, and I'm Joe Castiglione, and Joe Castiglione.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Castiglione's going into the Hall of Fame this year, and I talked to him, Dad. He's going to be on the PBP podcast the week that he gets.
What fun!
Yeah,
what fun
to be able to tell him that directly. Yeah.
You know, again, I grew up in Trenton, New Jersey, as you know, and they had a league called the Interstate League, and that was the only people who played. I mean, the home teams were only in the interstate of Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And that is where the New York Giants sent it was so close to the metropolitan area. So the New York Giants used to send their players to Trenton, which was the Trenton Giants. And of course, the player we all went to see was Willie Mays, who to this day I consider the best baseball player I've ever seen. But that's what we used to go and it's still there. It's now a big shopping center. It's no longer a baseball field, but we would, that's how we were raised.
Yeah.
Going to minor league baseball.
Yeah, the Trenton Giants. Pop saw Willie Mays play in the minors with the Trenton Giants. Did the Negro Leagues come through? Did the Negro Leagues come through Trenton at all, to your knowledge and memory? The Negro Leagues.
Did Willie come through Trenton?
No, the Negro Leagues. Did the Negro Leagues barnstorming
no,
was, or anything like
that? That was before my time.
Okay.
That was before my time. But it's interesting. I couldn't help it because I went to my baseball encyclopedia, which is now called Google.
Yeah.
And I found who in the Interstate League, this little Class B league, ever made it to the. And there are, I found, I must tell you, three Hall of Famers.
Who played in the Interstate League?
Yep. Robin Roberts.
Wow.
Nelson Fox.
Uh-huh.
And George Kell.
Oh, yeah. Nellie Fox, folks.
Nellie Fox.
Is an absolute legend in this town, you know.
Well, he came... He came through the Interstate League to go to the Hall of Fame. And do you remember George Kell, that name? He was a great third baseman for Detroit. And Kurt Simmons was a wonderful pitcher for the Phillies.
Yeah.
But they came through. It's fun because here I am looking at the baseball encyclopedia, as I said, which is now called Google, and finding who in the Interstate League ever got to the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And there they were.
Nellie Fox was absolutely great for the 1959 White Sox in the World Series.
Absolutely sensational.
Yeah. You've taught me so much about the teams and the games that you loved and watched. Pops, I've said it before, but I think you know it, that one of the great thrills of my life was bringing you and my brother Bobby, your son, who you referenced, and my wife Christine, the four of us going to Game 3 of the World Series at Wrigley Field in 2016. And I remember texting with you about a month before that in advance of your visit, and I knew you were coming. And I texted you and I said, you know, Pops, I'm just saying, if the Cubs happen to get there, that night is Game 3 of the World Series. And you texted back, OMG. And that was a month before. And then as the fates collided, there we were. And you remember the feeling of walking into Wrigley Field, which was at that time. There was a first World Series game at Wrigley since 1945.
And seeing that statue on the field when you walked in,
the Santos statue. It was the Ron Santos statue, which used to be right there at the corner of Sheffield and Addison. Yeah,
I'll never forget that ever. And then, of course, we followed it up a couple of years later by going to Fenway Park. Seeing a World Series game, and they're the only two World Series games I've ever seen to this day.
Yeah, well,
in person.
In person. And at Fenway, we had the greatest concession in the history of ballpark concessions, warm clam chowder.
That's right.
On a cold night. It was so cold.
Chowder.
We did indeed have chowder. All right, well, Herb Spiegel, you are a joy. The listeners love hearing you. The call screener enjoyed screening you. Thank you so much for being on.
Well, I love you all. Love your screener. Love you. Love Christine. I love it's been a great love fest. I've gotten through 91 years, and I still get chills when I hear some of the things that you quote and say. Bye to the screener.
I will. We'll put you on hold, and you can say goodbye yourself. Okay. All right, Pops.
Love you.
Love you. My goodness. My Ruben, you can pick up Grandpa there and say goodbye to him on the phone. How about that? Dude, he's been holding out on me. I've known him, let me check my math, my entire life.
It seems right.
Yeah. So
I've known him. Wild man. He's listening to Don Larson in a fighter jet. What?
Yeah, listening to Don Larson in an Air Force plane while transferring an atomic bomb as the navigator. That is freaking awesome.
Not what I expected to hear today.
Yeah, Herb Spiegel's the man. Thanks everybody. Happy Father's Day to you and yours. Let's throw open the phone lines right now, Sean, and welcome people to tell stories of their fathers in baseball here on Father's Day. 312-644-6767. I'll get you a team of the moment before we get out of here this hour as well. Top of the hour, Bob Lopez, Nicky Lopez's dad. Yes, we're talking plenty of Cubs consternation and White Sox trade deadline, but we've got to expand it on a day like this and enjoy the confluence of events. Thanks so much for listening to Hit and Run. I'm Matt Spiegel here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Larson is ready, gets the sign. Two strikes, ball one. Here comes the pitch. Strike three. A no-hitter, a perfect game for Don Larson. Yogi Berra runs out there. He leaps on Larson, and he's swarmed by his teammates. A perfect performance by Don Larson.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
There it is, Don Larson's perfect game. That's what it sounded like in the air. Oh, my God, for my pops, the navigator for the United States Air Force. 312-644-6767. Happy Father's Day to all who celebrate, all who are dads. Even happy Father's Day to the non-fathers out there. Can I do that? Can I say that? I don't know. We're not going to worry about that. We're going to take some calls and talk to some of our people, some of the Scores people, the Hit and Run people about Father's Day and baseball. Ron on the South Side, how are you, sir? Good morning.
Hey, look here. Baseball is life.
Damn right.
I could have sat here and listened to you. Okay, I'm going to get to it real quick. I'm going to make it quick. You know me. 1967, 10 years old, my father took me to my first Sox game. And I remember it was in September because I was in school. So, you know, later on, I realized we went because it was, you know, when the Sox were in that pennant race in 67 with Joe Hall and great and Gary Peters. So, okay, time went on and we continued to go to baseball games. Our favorite year was 83. He loved Carlton Fisk. Mm-hmm. My most memorable was because my son, he grew up with baseball with me. I coached him in baseball. Our best, most memorable experience was going to a 2005 White Sox playoff, and they won. But I have to mention this. 2001, a gentleman called me and said, Ryan, I have tickets to the new Milwaukee Brewers opening stadium. Would you like to attend with me? I said, you know, I have to ask because anything relative to baseball, I bring my son. You think he could go? My son was, I think, 11 years old. And that gentleman was Les Grousting.
Wow.
Les Grousting. I went downstairs to pull the program out. Yeah. So that's why this is even more special. And lastly,
wow.
This is very, very special for me. Last month, May 4th, my son got married in Belize, and happiest day, I believe, for me and my wife, other than our wedding 35 years ago and the day he was born. So you see, Father's Day means a lot to him. Happy Father's Day to you and all the other fathers. Thank you, Steve.
Hey, Ron, man, I got chills. Ron is the goods. That's awesome. I didn't know that the grobber and Ron had a relationship like that, our dear departed overnight host, Les Grobstein. And then, oh, man, thank you, Ron, for calling and for sharing as you always do. Marty in Highland Park. Been a while since I've talked to you, Marty. Good morning. How are you?
Great show, Spiegs. I got to tell you, I was in sixth grade when Don Larsen threw that no-hitter. I convinced my mother to let me stay home the next day because I couldn't deal with the Yankee fans. and thanks for triggering me with that tape you just played.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That is amazing.
Sal Magley pitched a good game for the Dodgers that day.
Not good enough.
But anyway, last year I called you and talked about my father. Now I want to talk about my daughter. When she was 11, I took her, I think it was Father's Day, to Comiskey Park to see what turned out to be Andy Hawkins' reverse no-hitter, the no-hitter that he lost to the Sox.
Yeah.
The Sox were just getting good in 1990. They had all these great young players. And she and I bonded in a way we really hadn't before. She's still a great baseball fan. She moved to New York for a while and adopted my other team, the Mets, who I grew up with after the Dodgers moved. And now she's in Los Angeles, but she hates the Dodgers as much as I do because they left Brooklyn.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. All right, so look, can you tell us, Marty, while we're talking Brooklyn Dodgers, was Eddie Stanky any good? Like, should Jerry Reinsdorf really be basing his player evaluation on Eddie Stanky, his love for Eddie Stanky when he was a little kid?
When Eddie Stanky was the Dodgers was before my time. Okay. I remember him with the Giants. He was in the 40s, and I was sort of a baby at that point.
Okay.
But he was you know, a very established shortstop.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make it about that. But hey, Marty, happy Father's Day. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening, as you do. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. That's Marty in Highland Park. I had to squeeze in Eddie Stanky just because I've been thinking about it. This is Mike in Northbrook. Good morning, Mike.
How you doing? Happy Father's Day. I got a great Father's Day story. I think about my 98-year-old father.
Wow.
Who, God bless him, he's a great baseball fan. He was a terrific ball player himself. Anyhow, he was a Cub fan, and my brothers and I grew up on the north side in the late 50s in the go-go era, early 60s. And, you know, we loved the Sox. And in 59, Bill Veeck had a thing where you could send in, after the season's ticket people got their tickets, you could mail in, and two-thirds of the people south of Madison got tickets and one-third north of Madison. And we were lucky enough to get two tickets, and I'll never forget, it was the biggest thrill of my life. The second game, my dad gave the tickets to my brother and I, and we went to the series after they had won the first game 11-0 and unfortunately lost the second game 4-3 with the beer hitting on Al Smith's head, and I was, you know, but it was like the biggest thrill of my life to that point, and I'll always remember that my dad gave us the tickets, you know.
Wow, that's tremendous. Thank you, Mike, and that's the baseball relationship established and deepened for Al. Lots of texters hopping in here, here's one. My dad died when I was 11. He didn't like baseball. When I was 9, I was old enough for a family friend to take me. I learned a whole lot from Lou Boudreau. Well, there you go. Well, thanks for listening, and I'm sorry you didn't have that particular thing, and I totally understand. Here's one. That was great, Speaks, hearing your dad. I'm 40. I lost my dad 21 years ago. What I would do to have a baseball convo with him again. Happy Father's Day. That's BB in New Lenox. Thanks, BB, for listening. Man, that's tremendous. Another, tell your dad thank you for his service and happy Father's Day. I served in the Air Force as well. How many years did he do? I don't remember exactly how many years that he did. At least five, I think. This is Raimondo on the north side who wants to talk to us about Father's Day and baseball here on Hit and Run.
Hello.
Hello, Raymond.
Hi. Yes, how you doing? Thank you for the show. All my love to all the fathers. Thinking about my dad, of course, in baseball. I was growing up in Mexico in 1970,
mm-hmm.
going to the ballpark every day to see summer baseball over there. Winter wow. League gets all the press up here, but summer ball is pretty strong. Anyway, George Horta was our star in San Luis Potosí.
Wow.
He was the Black Pearl. And then 1973, moved to Chicago. My parents split. My mother moved to Chicago. And I'm missing Mexico. I'm sad. I miss my dad. I miss going to the ballpark with him. And I'm searching for something to watch on TV. UHF channel, channel 32, I believe. Yeah. I ran into Harry Carey and George Horta playing second base. And I had no idea.
Wow.
I had no idea he had been drafted by the White Sox. And I immediately became a White Sox fan. You know, and it was like, yes, Chicago is home. George Horta is here, so I can make it here in Chicago. If he can make it in Chicago, I can make it in Chicago.
Wow.
That's how I felt as a little boy. And, well, I was, you know, I was in a freshman in high school, at Weber High School at that point. I was disappointed when he moved to the Indians, but I did not become an Indian fan. I just fell in love with Chicago, and you know, my dad plays second base. He's passed away about 6 years ago. He plays second base in a municipal league in Mexico, and then he used to take me to watch. And we used to call him the Black Pearl.
Wow, that is awesome. See, it's funny because I remember George Horta at the end of his career with the Royals. He was famously the runner.
Oh.
He was the runner for the Don Denkinger play. Don Denkinger, the umpire, in 1985.
That's late in his career.
Yeah, it was towards the end of his career. So Don Denkinger called George Horta safe. And it's a very famous play in World Series history. But I love that he was your connection to the Mexican League. So these days, Raimondo, do you follow Mexican players and watch Mexican players with an extra bit of attention?
I follow the American and the National League in the United States.
Yeah,
I have very little connection. Unfortunately, we don't have a team in San Luis anymore.
Oh, I meant Mexican players when they come to the big leagues and play in the big leagues.
Yeah. You know, Paredes and Urias.
Yes.
And the Urias brothers.
Alejandro Kirk in Toronto. Alejandro Kirk is a fun catcher.
Well, Javier Assad.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I'm a Sox fan, but whenever Javier pitches, I watch him.
Good. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I watch. Yeah, I do follow all the Mexican players in the United States. Not all of them, but especially the pitchers. There's a couple. There's Javier Assad.
Mm-hmm.
And who else still pitching over here in Mexico? I can't think of anybody, but certainly Paredes and Rosarena.
Yes.
He's like George Horta. He emigrated to Mexico, and Rosarena did the same thing.
Yeah, so Randy.
So we consider him a Mexican.
Yeah.
Mexican-Cuban, and I definitely, he's struggling right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not doing so well.
But Raimondo, thanks so much for calling, man. Great to talk to you. I appreciate it. It's very cool to talk to Raimondo. Yeah, so Javier Assad, absolutely. And with the World Baseball Classic, all of a sudden you're like, oh, there they all are together, and you realize the bedfellows and realize, you know, the connection for so many. It's pretty cool. 670, the score is where you are. Ben in Queens, you are on Hit and Run. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Matt. First of all, I just have to say, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Your dad, every damn year, wins the coolest dude on the air award. And for him to break out the Don Larson in the air transporting atomic weapons, you know, that's like a starting pitcher going into the ninth and then, like, saving that one pitch he hasn't saved until that last pitch of the game. You know, I mean, that's just incredible. Herb Spiegel, every damn year, best dude on the air.
It's unbelievable.
I almost want to hang up because I can't beat that. But listen, okay, happy Father's Day. You know, my dad, you know, he was a musician. I became a musician. My son is a musician. He took me to every damn Little League practice I had. I played Little League 11 months out of the year, grew up internationally. My team made it to Williamsport. I wasn't able to make the final cut because we came back stateside, you know, every year.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't able to participate in it. So, you know, it's kind of something that I've hung on all my life. But, you know, now my son is the same age as Ruben, and he made the all-district team. So they're in intensive practices. We got single elimination starting July 5th. And, you know, if you keep winning, you go all the way to Williamsport. But, you know, I love my dad. It was a great, you know, he gave me everything I needed, you know, to do in my life. And, you know, he always supported me. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't his thing. And one of my earliest memories of him is in Wrigley Field. And somebody went yard and he went, oh, and I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. I think I was like 3 or 4 years old. And I love you, Dad. I miss you so much.
Hey, thanks, Ben. Ben is a great caller and always love getting a chance to talk to him. Man, it's just, it's good stuff. Really appreciate always talking to you folks on Father's Day. A texter: my dad passed earlier this year in January. I'm 34 and navigating through it all. Big Cub fans. My grandpa was given a shot at playing for the Cardinals affiliate. Unfortunately, back then, baseball wasn't a priority, so grandpa went to the Army. He always said if it had been the Cubs who offered him a shot, he would have taken it, though. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for being here. Ruben's wearing Ruben's shirt says Squared Away on it. That is Christine's organizing company. She organized my office as a Father's Day gift, which is quite lovely because I am chaos. I am living, walking, breathing chaos. If you need any organizing, by the way, feel free to go check out the website. It's awesome. SquaredAwayOrganizing.com. SquaredAwayOrganizing.com. She is great at what she does. You could get one of those fancy Squared Away t-shirts as well. We'll do Team of the Moment when we come back here in a moment on 670 The Score. And then a local baseball dad at the top of the hour to take us out before Cubs baseball at 11:25 or so. Keep it right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Lane Thomas to right center. See you later. Two in a row for the Lane Train, which is on a big-time roll. So today, he reaches a 9-game hitting streak with a double and that home run.
Sixth home run on the season, 94 up and away, and he delivers.
It was the team of the moment, offering entertainment. The team of the moment, they caught our eyes.
The team of the moment in Major League Baseball. Well, we got some options. The Reds have won 7 of 10. The Mets have won 8 of 10. But we're going to go with the team you just heard right there, with Lane Thomas, with the Washington Nationals. The Washington Nationals, folks, have won 7 out of 8. The Nationals have also, they won 3 in a row against the Braves. They appear to be a franchise that has turned the corner. They have an absolute superstar in the making in the shortstop, C.J. Abrams, who is coming along. That was the jewel of the trade that sent Juan Soto to the San Diego Padres. The other big player in that trade is Mackenzie Gore, the left-handed pitcher who went 7 innings and struck out 10 the other night. They're a bunch of good and interesting young pitchers on the Washington Nationals. But I'll go ahead and admit that one reason we are skewing towards the Nationals, who, again, you know, are probably not going to be a playoff team, but they're close, and they appear to be a team that has turned the corner, is because they have a young pitcher who just made his third start and joined Greg Maddux and Clayton Kershaw in baseball history. And that player, that young pitcher, has a familiar name as he struck out 9 to this point and then got 4 more.
And this will be DJ's third consecutive start at Nationals Park. And goes right after him. Ball foul tipped. Need we say career high in strikeouts? Number 10, 3-2. Right in there. Bruhan frozen at the plate. That's number 11. And that's on the inside edge. Number 12. Oh, my. 6 innings. The number is 13.
So, six innings for DJ Hers. He did not throw 85 pitches. The most ever strikeouts for a guy who threw 85 pitches or less is DJ Hers and Greg Maddux and Clayton Kershaw. Excuse me. All right, hang on. Why do I know that name? Because he was the left-handed reliever with a very high walk rate that the Cubs traded to the Nationals in exchange for the rental of Jamer Candelario last year. And now DJ Hers is striking out 13 at the major league level in a start for the Washington Nationals. He's only pitching there because Trevor Williams got hurt, and this was his third start, and the first two were not great. But DJ Hers looks like they might have found somebody with a four-seam fastball and a slider, and changeup, cutter. In fact, the changeup is what's great. He threw it 35% of the time, and the changeup was always thought to be a very, very good pitch in the minor leagues, and it is still a very good pitch, but he was thought of as a reliever. Were the Cubs thinking about him wrong? Do we have to add this to Jeremiah Estrada for recent pitchers let go for nothing or for cheap who have now gone on to make the Cubs' pitching infrastructure look like they might have missed on something?
Yeah, this one hurts a little bit, huh? This is a guy we were talking about last year. Talented, lefty, good changeup. Big standout, though, 19.5 pitches per inning is what DJ Hers is averaging. So a lot of strikeouts, but not a ton of efficiency. And that was kind of the Cubs' issue.
Right, yeah. They were worried that the very high walk rate, and he was going to get in trouble, so maybe that's not good for a reliever. But if he's a starter who's going to strike out a lot of people while he's walking a lot of people, that is something you can live with in more of a macro sense. And you can also obviously find a way to harness that control at some point. Look, Jamer Candelario was a good pickup, and he was very desired on the at the deadline last year. You know, this is all colored by the September.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Gets the sign. Two strikes, ball one. Here comes the pitch. Strike three. A no-hitter, a perfect game for John Larson. Yogi Berra runs out there. He leaps on Larson, and he's swarmed by his teammates. A perfect performance by Don Larson.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
There it is, Don Larson's perfect game. That's what it sounded like in the air. Oh, my God. For my pops, the navigator. For the United States Air Force. 312-644-6767. Happy Father's Day to all who celebrate, all who are dads. Even happy Father's Day to the non-fathers out there. Can I do that? Can I say that? I don't know. We're not going to worry about that. We're going to take some calls and talk to some of our people, some of the Scores people, the Hit and Run people, about Father's Day and baseball. Ron on the South Side, how are you, sir? Good morning.
Hey, look here. Baseball is life.
Damn right.
I could have sat here and listened to you. Okay, I'm going to get to it real quick. I'm going to make it quick. You know me. 1967, 10 years old, my father took me to my first Sox game. And I remember it was in September because I was in school. So, you know, later on, I realized we went because it was, you know, when the Sox were in that pennant race in 67 with Joe Hoyle and great and Gary Peters. So, okay, time went on and we continued to go to baseball games. Our favorite year was 83. He loved Carlton Fisk. My most memorable was because my son, he grew up with baseball with me. I coached him in baseball. Our best, most memorable experience was going to a 2005 White Sox playoff, and they won. But I have to mention this. 2001, a gentleman called me and said, Ryan, I have tickets to the new Milwaukee Brewers opening stadium. Would you like to attend with me? I said, you know, I have to ask because anything relative to baseball, I bring my son. You think he could go? My son was, I think, 11 years old. And that gentleman was Les Grousting.
Wow.
Les Grousting. I went downstairs to pull the program out. Yep. So that's why this is even more special. And lastly,
wow.
This is very, very special for me. Last month, May 4th, my son got married in Belize, and happiest day, I believe, for me and my wife, other than our wedding 35 years ago and the day he was born. So you see, Father's Day means a lot to him. Happy Father's Day to you and all the other fathers. Thank you, Speed.
Hey, Ron, man, I got chills. Ron is the goods. That's awesome. I didn't know that the Grobber and Ron had a relationship like that, our dear departed overnight host, Les Grobstein. And then, oh, man, thank you, Ron, for calling and for sharing as you always do. Marty in Highland Park. Been a while since I've talked to you, Marty. Good morning. How are you?
Great show, Speegs. I got to tell you, I was in sixth grade when Don Larsen threw that no-hitter. I convinced my mother to let me stay home the next day because I couldn't deal with the Yankee fans. and thanks for triggering me with that tape you just played.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That is amazing.
Sal Magley pitched a good game for the Dodgers that day.
Not good enough.
But anyway, last year I called you and talked about my father. Now I want to talk about my daughter. When she was 11, I took her, I think it was Father's Day, to Comiskey Park to see what turned out to be Andy Hawkins' reverse no-hitter, the no-hitter that he lost to the Sox.
Yeah.
The Sox were just getting good in 1990. They had all these great young players. And she and I bonded in a way we really hadn't before. She's still a great baseball fan. She moved to New York for a while and adopted my other team, the Mets, who I grew up with after the Dodgers moved. And now she's in Los Angeles, but she hates the Dodgers as much as I do because they left Brooklyn.
Yeah, no, I know. All right, so look, can you tell us, Marty, while we're talking Brooklyn Dodgers, was Eddie Stanky any good? Like, should Jerry Reinsdorf really be basing his player evaluation on Eddie Stanky, his love for Eddie Stanky when he was a little kid?
When Eddie Stanky was the Dodgers was before my time.
Okay.
I remember him with the Giants. He was in the 40s, and I was sort of a baby at that point.
Okay.
But he was a very established shortstop.
I didn't mean to make it about that. But, hey, Marty, happy Father's Day. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening, as you do. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. That's Marty in Highland Park. I had to squeeze in Eddie Stanky just because I've been thinking about it. This is Mike in Northbrook. Good morning, Mike.
How you doing? Happy Father's Day. I got a great Father's Day story. I think about my 98-year-old father,
wow,
who, God bless him, he's a great baseball fan. He was a terrific ball player himself. Anyhow, he was a Cub fan, and my brothers and I grew up on the north side in the late 50s in the go-go era, early 60s. And, we loved the Sox. And in 59, Bill Vecchi had a thing where you could send in, after the season's ticket people got their tickets, you could mail in, and two-thirds of the people south of Madison got tickets and one-third north of Madison. And we were lucky enough to get two tickets, and I'll never forget, it was the biggest thrill of my life. The second game, my dad gave the tickets to my brother and I, and we went to the series after they had won the first game 11-0 and unfortunately lost the second game 4-3 with the beer hitting on Al Smith's head, and I was, but it was like the biggest thrill of my life to that point, and I'll always remember that my dad gave us the tickets,
Wow, that's tremendous. Thank you, Mike, and thus the baseball relationship established and deepened for Al. Lots of texters hopping in here, here's one. My dad died when I was 11. He didn't like baseball. When I was 9, I was old enough for a family friend to take me. I learned a whole lot from Lou Boudreau. Well, there you go. Well, thanks for listening, and I'm sorry you didn't have that particular thing, and I totally understand. Here's one. That was great, Speaks, hearing your dad. I'm 40. I lost my dad 21 years ago. what I would do to have a baseball convo with him again. Happy Father's Day. That's BB in New Lenox. Thanks, BB, for listening. Man, that's tremendous. Another, tell your dad thank you for his service and happy Father's Day. I served in the Air Force as well. How many years did he do? I don't remember exactly how many years did he did. At least five, I think. This is Raimondo on the north side who wants to talk to us about Father's Day and baseball here on Hit and Run.
Hello.
Hello, Raymond.
Hi. Yes, how you doing? Thank you for the show. All my love to all the fathers. Thinking about my dad, of course, in baseball. I was growing up in Mexico in 1970, going to the ballpark every day to see summer baseball over there. Winter League gets all the press up here, but summer ball is pretty strong. Anyway, George Horta was our star in San Luis Potosí.
Wow.
He was the black pearl. And then 1973, moved to Chicago. My parents split. My mother moved to Chicago. And I'm missing Mexico. I'm sad. I miss my dad. I miss going to the ballpark with him. And I'm searching for something to watch on TV. UHF channel 32, I believe. Yeah. I ran into Harry Carey and George Horta playing second base. And I had no idea.
Wow.
I had no idea he had been drafted by the White Sox. And I immediately became a White Sox fan. You know, and it was like, yes, Chicago is home. George Horta is here, so I can make it here in Chicago. If he can make it in Chicago, I can make it in Chicago.
Wow.
That's how I felt as a little boy. And, well, I was, you know, I was in a freshman in high school, at Weber High School at that point. I was disappointed when he moved to the Indians, but I did not become an Indian fan. I just fell in love with Chicago, and you know, my dad played second base. He's passed away about 6 years ago. He played second base in a municipal league in Mexico, and then he used to take me to watch. And we used to call him the Black Pearl.
Wow, that is awesome. See, it's funny because I remember George Horta at the end of his career with the Royals. He was famously the runner.
Oh.
He was the runner for the Don Denkinger play. Don Denkinger, the umpire, in 1985.
That's lately his career.
Yeah, it was towards the end of his career. So Don Denkinger called George Horta safe. And it's a very famous play in World Series history. But I love that he was your connection to the Mexican League. So these days, Raimondo, do you follow Mexican players and watch Mexican players with an extra bit of attention?
I follow the American and the National League in the United States.
Yeah.
I have very little connection. Unfortunately, we don't have a team in San Luis anymore.
Oh, I meant Mexican players when they come to the big leagues and play in the big leagues.
Yeah. You know, Paredes and Urias.
Yes.
And the Urias brothers.
Alejandro Kirk in Toronto. Alejandro Kirk is a fun catcher.
Well, Javier Assad.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I'm a Sox fan, but whenever Javier pitches, I watch him.
Good. Yeah.
I do follow all the Mexican players in the United States. Not all of them, but especially the pitchers. There's a couple. There's Javier Assad.
Mm-hmm.
And who else still pitching over here in Mexico? I can't think of anybody, but certainly Paredes and Rosarena.
Yes.
He's like George Horta. He emigrated to Mexico, and Rosarena did the same thing.
Yeah, so Randy,
we consider him.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we consider him a Mexican.
Yeah,
Mexican Cuban, and I definitely he's struggling right now.
Yeah,
but he's not doing so well.
But Raimondo, thanks so much for calling, man. Great to talk to you. I appreciate it. It's very cool to talk to Raimondo. Yeah, so Javier Assad, absolutely. And with the World Baseball Classic, all of a sudden you're like, oh, there they all are together, and you realize the bedfellows and realize, you know, the connection for so many. It's pretty cool. 670, the score is where you are. Ben in Queens, you are on Hit and Run. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Matt. First of all, I just have to say, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Your dad, every damn year, wins the coolest dude on the air award. And for him to break out the Don Larson in the air transporting atomic weapons, you know, that's like a starting pitcher going into the ninth and then, like, saving that one pitch he hasn't saved until that last pitch of the game. You know, I mean, that's just incredible. Curb Spiegel every damn year, best dude on the air.
It's unbelievable.
I almost want to hang up because I can't beat that. But yeah. Listen, okay, happy Father's Day. You know, my dad, you know, he was a musician. I became a musician. My son is a musician. He took me to every damn Little League practice I had. I played Little League 11 months out of the year, grew up internationally. My team made it to Williamsport. I wasn't able to make the final cut because we came back stateside, you know, every year. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't able to participate in it. So, you know, it's kind of something that I've hung on all my life. But, you know, now my son is the same age as Ruben. And he made the all-district team. So they're in intensive practices. We got single elimination starting July 5th. And, you know, if you keep winning, you go all the way to Williamsport. But, you know, I love my dad. It was a great, you know, he gave me everything I needed, you know, to do in my life. And, you know, he always supported me. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't his thing. And one of my earliest memories of him is in Wrigley Field. And somebody went yard, and he went, oh! And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. I think I was like 3 or 4 years old. And I love you, Dad. I miss you so much.
Hey, thanks, Ben. Ben is a great caller and always love getting a chance to talk to him. Man, it's just it's good stuff. Really appreciate always talking to you folks on Father's Day. A texter, my dad passed earlier this year in January. I'm 34 and navigating through it all. Big Cub fans. My grandpa was given a shot at playing for the Cardinals affiliate. Unfortunately, back then, baseball wasn't a priority, so grandpa went to the Army. He always said if it had been the Cubs who offered him a shot, he would have taken it, though. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for being here. Ruben's wearing Ruben's shirt says Squared Away on it. That is Christine's organizing company. She organized my office as a Father's Day gift, which is quite lovely because I am chaos. I am living, walking, breathing chaos. If you need any organizing, by the way, feel free to go check out the website. It's awesome. SquaredAwayOrganizing.com. SquaredAwayOrganizing.com. She is great at what she does. You could get one of those fancy Squared Away t-shirts as well. We'll do Team of the Moment when we come back here in a moment on 670 The Score. And then a local baseball dad at the top of the hour to take us out before Cubs baseball at 11:25 or so. Keep it right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Lane Thomas to right center. See you later. Two in a row for the Lane Train, which is on a big-time roll. So today, he reaches a 98 inning streak with a double and that home run.
Sixth home run on the season, 94 up and away, and he delivers.
It was the team of the moment, offering entertainment. The team of the moment, they caught our eyes.
The team of the moment in Major League Baseball? Well, we got some options. The Reds have won 7 of 10. The Mets have won 8 of 10. But we're going to go with the team you just heard right there. With Lane Thomas, with the Washington Nationals. The Washington Nationals, folks, have won 7 out of 8. The Nationals have also, they won 3 in a row against the Braves. They appear to be a franchise that has turned the corner. They have an absolute superstar in the making in the shortstop, C.J. Abrams, who is coming along. That was the jewel of the trade that sent Juan Soto to the San Diego Padres. The other big player in that trade is Mackenzie Gore, the left-handed pitcher who went 7 innings and struck out 10 the other night. There are a bunch of good and interesting young pitchers on the Washington Nationals. But I'll go ahead and admit that one reason we are skewing towards the Nationals, who, again, you know, are probably not going to be a playoff team, but they're close, and they appear to be a team that has turned the corner, is because they have a young pitcher who just made his third start and joined Greg Maddux and Clayton Kershaw in baseball history. And that player, that young pitcher, has a familiar name as he struck out 9 to this point and then got 4 more.
And this will be DJ's third consecutive start at Nationals Park. And goes right after him. Ball foul tipped. Need we say career high in strikeouts? Number 10, 3-2. Right in there. Brujan frozen at the plate. That's number 11. And that's on the inside edge. Number 12. Oh, my. 6 innings. The number is 13.
So, 6 innings for DJ Hers. He did not throw 85 pitches. The most ever strikeouts for a guy who threw 85 pitches or less is DJ Hers and Greg Maddux and Clayton Kershaw. Excuse me. All right, hang on. Why do I know that name? Because he was the left-handed reliever with a very high walk rate that the Cubs traded to the Nationals in exchange for the rental of Jamer Candelario last year. And now DJ Hers is striking out 13 at the major league level in a start for the Washington Nationals. He's only pitching there because Trevor Williams got hurt, and this was his third start, and the first two were not great. But DJ Hers looks like they might have found somebody with a four-seam fastball and a slider, a changeup, cutter. In fact, the changeup is what's great. He threw it 35% of the time, and the changeup was always thought to be a very, very good pitch in the minor leagues, and it is still a very good pitch, but he was thought of as a reliever. Were the Cubs thinking about him wrong? Do we have to add this to Jeremiah Estrada for recent pitchers let go for nothing or for cheap who have now gone on to make the Cubs' pitching infrastructure look like they might have missed on something?
Yeah, this one hurts a little bit, huh? This is a guy we were talking about last year. Talented lefty, good changeup. Big standout though, 19.5 pitches per inning is what DJ Hers is averaging. So a lot of strikeouts, but not a ton of efficiency. And that was kind of the Cubs' issue.
Right, yeah. They were worried that the very high walk rate, and he was going to get in trouble. So maybe that's not good for a reliever. But if he's a starter who's going to strike out a lot of people while he's walking a lot of people, that is something you can live with in more of a macro sense. And you can also obviously find a way to harness that control at some point. Look, Jamer Candelario was a good pickup, and he was very desired on the at the deadline last year. You know, this was all colored by the September collapse, because at the time, it seemed very sensible to add. I mean, maybe there were a couple of voices out there saying, nah, don't buy it, don't believe it, as they made that charge, but I was not one of them. I absolutely believed that that team should make some adds, should make a charge. It was after an 8-game win streak that began at Wrigley when the Cubs swept the Cardinals in games broadcast by myself and Elise Menneker and Mike Esposito.
I mean, we're not saying you saved the Cubs season, but...
But did I cost the Cubs DJ Hers?
See,
that's what I'm saying. If me and Elise and Mike Esposito were the good luck charm that began that 8-game run, which culminated with the Mike Tauchman catch in St. Louis and convinced Jed Hoyer by his own admission that it was time to buy and support that team, then you're welcome for another couple of months of baseball relevance and excitement. But then the collapse in September is connected to it. So does that mean that me and Elise and Mike cost the Cubs DJ Hers? Do we have to wear that one forever? Damn it! It's possible!
We could have had Hers days. We could have had Hers days. There could have been whole branding. We have Wiz Nasties. There's all these things.
Look,
Hers days could have been a real nice one.
Yesterday, by the way, was the anniversary of Lou Brock to the Cardinals for Ernie Broglio. June 16th, 1964. Yesterday, the 60th anniversary of such things. So, look, every once in a while it happens that you trade a future Hall of Famer to an organizational rival that then torments you for decades.
Talk about Sammy Sosa now. Tell him about Sammy Sosa, Speaks. Give me something good.
No, I can't. He had Lou Brock hit 348 with 33 stolen bases over the course of the rest of the season and immediately turned into Lou Brock.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great. Well, DJ Herz, I hope he doesn't turn into the next Lou Brock. But if it does happen, you can blame me and Elise Menneker and Mike Esposito. And I think that Espo gets more of the blame. I think we give Espo the lion's share of the blame.
That sounds fair to me.
Yeah, that's just my theory, and I'm sticking to it. Let's talk to the dad of a White Sox player, and the man is an absolute legend of his own. Father's Day talk with Bob Lopez, Nicky's father. And then, before we get out of here, for Cubs pregame coming your way at 11:30, an incredible moment from the broadcast yesterday with Christmas prayers granted in June. Keep it here on Hit and Run on the Score.
The Score's Lawrence Holmes says,
I have the power!
And you have the power to use the Odyssey app to listen to the Bernstein and Holmes show anywhere you go, because Chicago sports never stops.
You should use the Odyssey app and use the rewind function to go back and listen.
Use the rewind feature within the Odyssey app or subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to the Bernstein and Holmes show weekdays 10 a.m. to 2.
Have I made that clear?
On 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
This segment is sponsored by Champion Roofing. When it comes to roofing, trust the champions in Champion Roofing, your go-to experts for quality roofs for over 25 years. Repairs, installations, or inspections, they've got you covered. Choose the champions of roofing excellence. Visit championroofing.com or call 847-673-ROOF.
Amazon One Medical presents Painful Thoughts.
With a little help from the internet, I've diagnosed myself with lymphangiomyomatosis, a very rare case, since it only affects women of childbearing age, and well, I'm a man.
Book a same day appointment with Amazon One Medical and get checked out for the thing you probably definitely don't have. Amazon One Medical. Healthcare just got less painful.
Golf Mill Ford can't be beat. They'll beat any deal every time on any new Ford. And this is why Golf Mill Ford's the number one volume Ford dealer 17 years in a row. Nobody beats Golf Mill Ford. Nobody. Golf Mill Ford in Niles or at golfmillford.com.
Abbey Springs Golf Course on the shores of Lake Geneva, Wisconsin has completely renovated green complexes and practice facilities. 4.5-star Abbey Springs rivals any course in Wisconsin. For tee times, go to abbeysprings.org. Abbey Springs, still Wisconsin's most beautiful golf course.
Want to save on some of the biggest names in streaming on the network made for streaming? X marks the spot. Now through June 30th, get 150 megabit Xfinity internet for 12 months with a one-year contract. And for just $15 a month, add the new Stream Saver that includes Peacock, Apple TV Plus, and Netflix. That's Xfinity internet and Stream Saver for just $35 a month. All your favorites, all in one place, only from Xfinity. So go ahead and binge some shows, stream some movies, and save some money all at the same time. For more watching and less spending, X marks the spot. Switch to Xfinity, the network made for streaming, and bring on the good stuff. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Restrictions apply. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Equipment taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular internet rates apply. Currently $56 a month. Actual speeds vary. Stream Saver requires Xfinity internet or TV and price subject to change.
I'm Jeff Jr., founder and CEO of Trajan Wealth. I was born and raised in northern Wisconsin by both my father, who owned a small 10-lane bowling alley, and my mother, who was a nurse, who did her best caring for everyone in our small town. My parents stressed with me that if you were going to do anything, it needed to be done right or not done at all. I later joined the Marine Corps, where additional values were instilled. Values like...
And Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Lane Thomas to right center. See you later. Two in a row for the Lane Train, which is on a big-time roll. So today... he reaches a 98 inning streak with a double and that home run.
Sixth home run on the season, 94 up and away, and he delivers.
It was the team of the moment, offering entertainment. The team.
team of the moment. They caught our eyes.
The team of the moment in Major League Baseball? Well, we got some options. The Reds have won 7 of 10. The Mets have won 8 of 10. But we're going to go with the team you just heard right there. With Lane Thomas, with the Washington Nationals. The Washington Nationals, folks, have won 7 out of 8. The Nationals have also, they won 3 in a row against the Braves. They appear to be a franchise that has turned the corner. They have an absolute superstar in the making in the shortstop, C.J. Abrams, who is coming along. That was the jewel of the trade that sent Juan Soto to the San Diego Padres. The other big player in that trade is Mackenzie Gore, the left-handed pitcher who went 7 innings and struck out 10 the other night. They're a bunch of good and interesting young pitchers on the Washington Nationals. But I'll go ahead and admit that one reason we are skewing towards the Nationals, who again, you know, are probably not going to be a playoff team, but they're close, and there appear to be a team that has turned the corner, is because they have a young pitcher who just made his third start and joined Greg Maddux and Clayton Kershaw in baseball history. And that player, that young pitcher, has a familiar name as he struck out 9 to this point and then got 4 more.
And this will be DJ's third consecutive start at Nationals Park. And goes right after him. Ball foul tipped. Need we say career high in strikeouts? Number 10, 3-2. Right in there. Brujan frozen at the plate. That's number 11. And that's on the inside edge. Number 12. Oh my. 6 innings. The number is 13.
So 6 innings for DJ Herz. He did not throw 85 pitches. The most ever strikeouts for a guy who threw 85 pitches or less is DJ Herz and Greg Maddux and Clayton Kershaw. Excuse me. All right, hang on. Why do I know that name? Because he was the left-handed reliever with a very high walk rate that the Cubs traded to the Nationals in exchange for the rental of Jamer Candelario last year. And now DJ Herz is striking out 13 at the major league level in a start for the Washington Nationals. He's only pitching there because Trevor Williams got hurt, and this was his third start, and the first two were not great. But DJ Herz looks like they might have found somebody with a four-seam fastball and a slider, a changeup, cutter. In fact, the changeup is what's great. He threw it 35% of the time, and the changeup was always thought to be a very, very good pitch in the minor leagues, and it is still a very good pitch, but he was thought of as a reliever. Were the Cubs thinking about him wrong? Do we have to add this to Jeremiah Estrada for recent pitchers let go for nothing or for cheap who have now gone on to make the Cubs' pitching infrastructure look like they might have missed on something?
Yeah, this one hurts a little bit, huh? This is a guy we were talking about last year. Talented, lefty, good changeup. Big standout, though. 19.5 pitches per inning is what DJ Herz is averaging. So a lot of strikeouts, but not a ton of efficiency. And that was kind of the Cubs' issue.
Right, yeah. They were worried that the very high walk rate, and he was going to get in trouble. So maybe that's not good for a reliever. But if he's a starter who's going to strike out a lot of people while he's walking a lot of people, that is something you can live with in more of a macro sense. And you can also obviously find a way to harness that control at some point. Look, Jamer Candelario was a good pickup, and he was very desired on the at the deadline last year. You know, this was all colored by the September collapse, because at the time, it seemed very sensible to add. I mean, maybe there were a couple of voices out there saying, nah, don't buy it, don't believe it, as they made that charge, but I was not one of them. I absolutely believe that that team should make some ads, should make a charge. It was after an eight-game win streak that began at Wrigley when the Cubs swept the Cardinals in games broadcast by myself and Elise Menneker and Mike Esposito.
I mean, we're not saying you saved the Cubs season, but...
But did I cost the Cubs DJ hers?
See,
That's what I'm saying. If me and Elise and Mike Esposito were the good luck charm that began that eight-game run, which culminated with the Mike Tauchman catch in St. Louis and convinced Jed Hoyer by his own admission that it was time to buy and support that team, then you're welcome for another couple of months of baseball relevance and excitement. But then the collapse in September is connected to it. So does that mean that me and Elise and Mike cost the Cubs DJ hers? Do we have to wear that one forever? Damn it! It's possible!
We could have had hers days. We could have had hers days. There could have been whole branding. We have Wiz Nasties. There's all these things.
Look,
hers days could have been a real nice one.
Yesterday, by the way, was the anniversary of Lou Brock to the Cardinals for Ernie Broglio. Oh. June 16th, 1964. Yesterday, the 60th anniversary of such things. So, look, every once in a while it happens that you trade a future Hall of Famer to an organizational rival that then torments you for decades.
Talk about Sammy Sosa now. Tell him about Sammy Sosa, Speaks. Give me something good.
No, I can't. He had Lou Brock hit 348 with 33 stolen bases over the course of the rest of the season and immediately turned into Lou Brock.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great. Well, DJ Hers, I hope he doesn't turn into the next Lou Brock. But if it does happen, you can blame me and Elise Menneker and Mike Esposito. And I think that Espo gets more of the blame. I think we give Espo the lion's share of the blame.
That sounds fair to me.
Yeah, that's just my theory, and I'm sticking to it. Let's talk to the dad of a White Sox player, and the man is an absolute legend of his own. Father's Day talk with Bob Lopez, Nicky's father. And then, before we get out of here, for Cubs pregame coming your way at 11:30, an incredible moment from the broadcast yesterday with Christmas prayers granted in June. Keep it here on Hit and Run on the Score.
The Score's Lawrence Holmes says,
I have the power!
And you have the power to use the Odyssey app to listen to the Bernstein and Holmes show anywhere you go. Because Chicago sports never stops.
You should use the Odyssey app and use the rewind function to go back and listen.
Use the rewind feature within the Odyssey app or subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to the Bernstein and Holmes show weekdays 10 a.m. to 2.
Have I made that clear?
On 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
This segment is sponsored by Champion Roofing. When it comes to roofing, trust the champions in Champion Roofing, your go-to experts for quality roofs for over 25 years. Repairs, installations, or inspections, they've got you covered. Choose the champions of roofing excellence. Visit championroofing.com or call 847-673-ROOF.
Amazon One Medical presents Painful Thoughts.
With a little help from the internet, I've diagnosed myself with lymphangiomyomatosis, a very rare case, since it only affects women of childbearing age, and well, I'm a man.
Book a same-day appointment with Amazon One Medical and get checked out for the thing you probably definitely don't have. Amazon One Medical. Healthcare just got less painful.
Golf Mill Ford can't be beat. They'll beat any deal every time on any new Ford. And this is why Golf Mill Ford's the number one volume Ford dealer 17 years in a row. Nobody beats Golf Mill Ford. Nobody. Golf Mill Ford in Niles or at golfmillford.com.
Abbey Springs Golf Course on the shores of Lake Geneva, Wisconsin has completely renovated green complexes and practice facilities. 4.5-star Abbey Springs rivals any course in Wisconsin. For tee times, go to abbeysprings.org. Abbey Springs, still Wisconsin's most beautiful golf course.
Want to save on some of the biggest names in streaming on the network made for streaming? X marks the spot. Now through June 30th, get 150 megabit Xfinity internet for 12 months with a one-year contract. And for just $15 a month, add the new Stream Saver that includes Peacock, Apple TV+, and Netflix. That's Xfinity internet and Stream Saver for just $35 a month. All your favorites, all in one place, only from Xfinity. So go ahead and binge some shows, stream some movies, and save some money all at the same time. For more watching and less spending, X marks the spot. Switch to Xfinity, the network made for streaming, and bring on the good stuff. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Restrictions apply. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Equipment taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular internet rates apply. Currently $56 a month. Actual speeds vary. Stream Saver requires Xfinity internet or TV and price subject to change.
I'm Jeff Jr., founder and CEO of Trajan Wealth. I was born and raised in northern Wisconsin by both my father, who owned a small 10-lane bowling alley, and my mother, who was a nurse, who did her best caring for everyone in our small town. My parents stressed with me that if you were going to do anything, it needed to be done right or not done at all. I later joined the Marine Corps, where additional values were instilled. Values like...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.